Today this could be the greatest day of our lives. Before it all ends, before we run out of time, stay close to me. Stay close to me. Watch the world come alive tonight. Good morning and welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday the 9th of May. And we certainly did watch the world come alive last night, didn't we? Unbelievable scenes. And I'm not ashamed to say I was very emotional. I was in tears for a fair while after. And then just when I did get myself together and recover, they interviewed Poch on BT Sport and he broke down when he mentioned his family and I was off again. It just felt like a cleansing of all those missed opportunities in one split second of the ball hitting the net from Moura. It's been an emotional week for reasons I've stated in the podcast this week, and it all came out last night. Fantastic. In both seminars that I've done this year, I've been asked what would happen if I died. Obviously, sharing info with people on sort of the first two questions out in Birmingham and London were, what would happen if I die? And I'm only 48, by the way, not 88. Well, the old ticker last night was beating around 160. I could see it through my chest, and I am still here, alive and kicking. I said this team would be the death of me, and they had a bloody good go last night, but I am a machine. So I am announcing today, and Suggsy, you'll like this. You'll really appreciate this, as he gets to bear the brunt of most of it. A complete and utter clean slate with me for Tottenham Hotspur FC. No matter what happens in the final, they will start with a clean slate. I have been critical. Some people say overly critical. I'm a passionate fan, no matter what anyone thinks of me. I've followed this lot, as I've said many times, for 40 plus years, all over the world, and pretty much only ever been disappointed. And last night, it was 100% heading that way again, wasn't it? A piss-poor start. Trippier, I mean, it really is a stretch for me to give this fucking guy a clean slate. All over the shop. Son obviously was back and we were looking to inspire us. He was just sloppy and poor in possession. When Yama slow and ponderous. 2-0 down, I was fuming up. And it wasn't fuming at the result. It was the lack of effort, and I just want to see them give everything. And Hoddle said before the game, leave nothing in the dressing room. And they were just ball watching again. You know, you see the two goals, Ajax, the space. It's just ridiculous. And that's what I was fuming about, just the lack of effort. And they just simply weren't up to it. And it was garbage. You know, Tottenham have been garbage, you know, for a long while. And it was more garbage against a side that really aren't that great, and I'll get to that bit in a minute, get that later. What happened at half-time, I have no idea. Second half is the most aggressive and passionate that Spurs have been since they beat Chelsea at Wembley last November. And with one flick of his boot in the 96th minute last night, Lucas Moura wiped out of my life. John Lacey, Pamaro, Mido, Gilberto, in fact any shit player we've had whose name sounds like O, Christian Gross, Ramos, Lasagna Gate, Mind the Gap, Arsenal winning the double at the Lane, 3-0 up to United at half time to get done 5-3, Newcastle in the semi-final, 1-6 Newcastle, Portsmouth semi-final, Mendes ghost goal, United on penalties, Vorming goal for the FA Cup semi. Bentaleb running midfield. All of it. All of it. Years and years of hope to despair gone in that one moment. Poch, credit to your son. I will give it me. Clean slate, me and you from here. I won't be having any Poch out. Clean slate, give him a fresh start from here. I love the football. I love this football club, despite what anybody says. It was an immense night. Moura inspired. I still don't know what happened. You know, Liverpool with the comeback of the century on Tuesday, and I think we topped it last night. So let's deal with some of the other fallout of the night. Let's get to the good bits. Firstly, on Twitter, young Ed, you gotta love Ed. He pops up in the first half, quoting, and I quote, This is his quote. Ed Yu, the IX side are better than people give credit. Compared to my, and he put my quote and his quote up there, this side aren't that good. And then he finished it off with a nice little see ya when we're 2-0 down. Well, Ed, obviously people may see Ed on Twitter, but may not know. Ed, the last time I met Ed, by my recollection, I don't think I've met him since, was at Lingfield at the races a couple of years ago. And I left him having a beer with Suggsy and went to bed, and only for Paul to ring me at 4 in the morning and say Ed was en route to hospital in an ambulance. Too much beer. I drink with Suggsy on a number of occasions, Ed. It's never involved a fucking 999 call. And Ed reminds me back of my working life. My boss used to employ graduates and, you know, young students, and they'd sign up to the firm, then they'd have to go on a training course, and then they'd come back, and all of a sudden you'd been in the job 10 years, but they knew it all and started you telling how it was because they had the training manual sticking out their arse. You know, it's like when you're a teenager, when you're having your driving. Teenagers, you pay, you know, my boy pay for his driving lessons, and then you get in the car to take him somewhere, and they start pointing out you haven't got your hands at 10 to 2. Oh, Dad, you ain't got your hands at 10 to 2. They don't know the half of it. That's Ed. Ed reminds me of that. Tottenham's recent form has been appalling. 11 points from their last 10 games. 8 away defeats out of 9 to pretty poor opposition. Burnley, Southampton, Bournemouth, included in that. Last night they dominated every stat against Ajax. Possession, chances, corners, distance covered, tackles, dominated it. The same in the second half at Tottenham. And I get the romanticism of it. I get the fact that they're a young side. They're a young up-and-coming side. They're a good young side that have done well. They are a million miles from being a great side. If the draw was done again, you would want them every time. They were the outsiders when the draw was made. Liverpool drifted when the Moura scored that goal. I can guarantee you that Jurgen Klopp would not have been happy with that goal going in. He would have been much happier playing Ajax than he will be playing Tottenham. And I'm not saying Liverpool will be deserved favourites and very may well win, but he would have been much happier playing Ajax. PSV, who were the sort of whipping boys in our group by the markets and everything, that they're tied with points with Ajax at the top of the Eredivisie. And I said it last week walking out with Suggsy, and I phoned a mate of mine who follows football and asked him the same. And on loudspeaker, he said it. If Ajax were in our league, they would be sixth or seventh at best. They are at Wolves or Leicester level. It's the romanticism of these couple of young players. And yes, they went and beat a shit Real Madrid side this season and did well at Juve when, and I just so think Juve swapped off. They'll be triple figures for the Champions League market next season, as they were this, 250-1. And a more clinical team than Spurs over these two legs that I've watched and seen, you know, City or Liverpool, they would batter them. Imagine City with 16, 17 chances against them like we had. It'd be a slaughtering. You know, we couldn't put the ball in the net. They would absolutely slaughter them. People like Aguero, Jesus, Silva, you know, just clinical players. Bernardo Silva, they would just absolutely put them to bed. And I think we're in for a better final. Maybe more cagey, but I think you'd be in for a better final because I think Liverpool would have absolutely rolled them over. So then with that said, let's move on also last night to the clever dicks boasting about laying Ajax at 104 or 103 as if it was a genius move. Well done to you, clap of the hands. But call it what it is, please, for fuck's sake. Let's call it. It was a speculative punt. Given Spurs form, the way they played the first half, don't try and claim there was value in the odds at 0-3 down. There wasn't. Stop claiming your value gurus. If you're value gurus, show the method. Show the bets you've made that odd. Show the strike rate. Show the workings. Show how the value's arrived at. Other than that, pat yourselves on the back for getting one in, but don't act like you're clever. People following you going to go on laying 103, 104 shots all over the place, doing their bollocks, bleeding small losses. Call it what it is, please, for fuck's sake, honestly. Well done to you. I'll give you a round of applause, but let's not have this value gurus and this, that and the other. It is what it is. Spurs 0-3 down, can't beat Bournemouth away, dead and buried. It was just an amazing turnaround, unbelievable. I'll tell you what value is. Value is booking your flights and hotel for Madrid on December the 12th, 2018, for a Champions League final in June 2019, which are now worth four figures and rising. That, my friends, is value. Okay, that's it. I'll close off last night. Finished. Move on. Last night done. seminars, those who have attended Birmingham, London, yesterday I've set up the Dropbox and I emailed you the details of that so that you can access it. So please check if you came to the seminar that you've got that set up. I put a couple of test files in the folders, and I'm going to start sharing my selection files from this weekend so that you can follow what I showed you in effect. And I'll be populating it with some other notes and things in there just to remind people. And when I've done all the seminars, I'll put the PowerPoint and everything in there so that you've got all the slides, so that you can follow it. I, because of the situation with my boy, I hope to have the WhatsApp set up tomorrow, but if not, it'll be Monday. I've got to go back up to Cambridge. He's got his final exam tomorrow of this week. Then he's got 10 days off, which we're going to get him home. I don't want to harp on about that, but I'll get the WhatsApp situation set up either tomorrow, but if not, it will be over the weekend, ready for Monday. But the files and everything will be in there from this weekend. Betting-wise, I have nothing for today. The pod place horses, the one yesterday, Sheik and Boogie, that placed. I'll update the results on Twitter before the weekend. Nothing qualifies today. There's about three came up, but they're all short prices, so I won't be getting involved. We have no football of sorts either. We do have the Thursday night Emmerdale Cup second leg games. Chelsea, I do expect to progress, but I couldn't be backing them at 1.38. To win tonight. I just wouldn't want to get involved in that. Valencia, I expect to make a game of it, but I do think that goal that Arsenal got in the 90th minute, I think that could be the deciding factor and maybe enough to carry them through. If I could have got odds over 2 tonight, I might have been interested in Valencia, but at 1.93, I'll be leaving it alone. And even I will say, if we could get 2 all English finals, it would be fantastic. When it would genuinely for the, it would be fantastic. I love the thought of them all tracking out to Baku. Be lovely for them. I did start to do a small bit on record keeping, and I'm going to mention a few points, but I'll need to do a written blog on it because I need to show some people and I can take some screenshots. But my starting point for anybody keeping records is every day on a spreadsheet I enter my daily total profit and loss across all my betting trading. So I've got one spreadsheet in effect with 365 cells broken into the months, every day labelled. And if I win, say, £600 trade in football, £300 fixed odds, and lose £200 on horses, I'm £700 for the day, and that figure goes on the spreadsheet. I've got some conditional formatting on it, so it's green if it's a positive, red for losses. So I've got an instant sort of visual at a glance of how I'm getting on for the month or year. You can do it weekly if you wish to. And it leaves me nowhere to hide. And if you do it, nowhere to hide for you. You'll soon stand out if you're losing overall. I've got some sum columns, obviously, to add up the monthly totals and an overall total. So you can, at a glance, look, I've got one sheet where all my, in effect, just PL goes on. So I can log in and go, bang, right, this month I've won £8,000 or I've lost £4,000, wherever I'm at. And then, obviously, the methods that make up that PL, I have a spreadsheet for each and every method. And each one has different detail on it. Racing, for example, I have a lot more details on than I do football. So the racing, I'll have pretty much most of the columns that have been on the FTS racing sheet since 2012, where the date, handicap, meeting, form, class, age, code of the race, because I want as much detail as that. Do I do better over handicap races to non-handicap races? Do I do better in certain classes of race compared to others? So I can sort of, when I'm looking at my business over a year, I can analyse it and see, perhaps where I need to pay more attention or where I need to cut back. And I'm not talking about massive overhauls of systems. I look at things a couple of times a year, not every single week, but I want that detail on there so I can have a look at it. Football, slightly different, not so many variables. Obviously you want date, league, times, teams, price for me is the all-important factor in football, so I put the price I bet at. I have the morning prices from the FDD sheets, and I have the prices 5 minutes before kickoff, so I can see whether things are drifting and whether I'm getting value over time compared to the kickoff price on what I do. If for my trading sheet, much the same. I put the price I enter in, the price I exit in, but the biggest element of my trading sheet. So nearly every single trade I have a notes column will have a note to it, why I entered it, what price I entered it at, when I exited it, why I exited it. And those of you who came to the seminars who, you know, when I said I'd talk about managing my position across groups of games, it's invaluable for me to, as a mindset, as a trader. It will stop you getting those silly trades of, oh, I just did it to chase a previous loss. Because if you're writing it down, then you'll see you do it, and hopefully you stop it. So it sort of helps you information about yourself as much as anything. You know, are you exiting a trade just because you're scared of losing, as opposed to any actual numbers behind it? You're just doing it. So it'll help you identify, hopefully, trades you shouldn't place. And that's something I've done ever since I started. So hopefully that would give you, a look, if you look back through it, of why you did anything. So if you had a really bad day and you'd made notes, you could read it. As I say, I'll do some written piece on this. If anybody wants templates of what I do, like the daily sheet, then DM me or put comments on this post and I can set that up to be downloaded off the website. Don't email me, because I just get too much, it'll get lost in there. But most people, I guess, with record keeping, firstly, it'd be a huge improvement just to start and do something. Secondly, you've got to put every trade down and not hide from it, and every bet. You know, none of us like to do it when we're losing. You know, don't think I don't have losing periods. I do, and I put them down, and they're not enjoyable. But that's when you probably learn more about yourself than the winning ones. So you've got to get those down. You know, I stopped doing it for people. I used to do some, and particularly when Cav was on board, we sort of tried to do it. But it was just pointless us doing it. It just encouraged your own laziness. So I think the first thing to do is actually get something set up. But I'll do a written post, and if people want more on there, then they can use it, and it's some. Now we're entering the close season, obviously I'll have a bit of time to look at these things, and I can set templates up and that for the next season for people, particularly who's involved in what I'm doing, just so you've got a layout. If you're not that great with Excel, I can do it with the conditional formatting and the formulas in to add it up, but ultimately you've got to fill it in, and if you don't fill it in, then it's a fucking waste of time. And I mean, I've got a friend of mine who does the racing, Paul's met him, fantastic guy, but he runs around with a scrap bit of paper writing every day, and I have built him about 42 versions of spreadsheets, but it's an absolute waste of time because he never fills them in. But the flip of that is he never has a clue how much money he's got, where he's at, whether he's, if I say to him, are you winning or losing, he says, I think I'm doing okay. So he's living sort of week to week with no real records of what he's doing, and it drives me bananas. But I've built every possible option for him to do it on an iPad, everything. But if he doesn't fill it in, it's an absolute waste of time. And we sort of had genuinely about 42 goes at it, I think we got to. And I just said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just wasting my time trying to do it for you. So ultimately, you've got to make a commitment to do it daily. That's it for that for today. Hopefully you enjoyed all that, and it will give you some support. As I say, if you put the any comments or anything, if you do them on comments on the blog post itself, underneath the podcast post, there's a comments box. You can always comment or put it on Twitter and I'll see it. What do you do for today? There's not much on. Go to BT Sport Twitter and watch UCL Unfiltered, I guess. It's 9 minutes of a great video. And I've got one final send-off. Dave the Arsenal fan, fuck you, son.